invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Amos, chapter 6, as we continue our sermon series in this great little book. If you're using the blue Bible in the pew rack in front of you, you'll find it about page 650. So Amos chapter 6, verses 8 through 14, the end of the chapter. I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Scriptures. Invite you to follow along in your Bibles as well. Amos chapter 6, beginning at verse 8. Would you please stand for the reading of the Scriptures this morning? Amos 6, verse 8. The sovereign Lord has sworn by himself. The Lord God Almighty declares, I abhor the pride of Jacob and detest his fortresses. I will deliver up the city and everything in it. If 10 men are left in one house, they too will die. And if a relative who is to burn the bodies comes to carry them out of the house and asks anyone still hiding there, is anyone with you? And he says no, then he will say, hush, we must not mention the name of the Lord. For the Lord has given the command, and he will smash the great house into pieces and the small house into bits. Do horses run on the rocky crags? Does one plow there with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into bitterness. You who rejoice in the conquest of Lodabar and say, did we not take Carnum by our own strength? For the Lord God Almighty declares, I will stir up a nation against you, O house of Israel, that will oppress you all the way from Lebo-Hamath to the valley of Arabah. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Scriptures, your word that is inspired, your word that is given to teach us and instruct us in the path that we should go. We invite you by your Holy Spirit to come and minister to us now through your word and your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I am sure that almost every one of us here this morning could stand and give testimony of times in our lives when we were guilty of the sin of pride. I know I certainly could. In fact, let me give you just one example. Before becoming pastor of Heritage Alliance Church, I had the privilege of serving as pastor of Moose Jaw Alliance Church. And after serving in Moose Jaw for several years, they granted me a 3-month sabbatical for a study leave. And during those 3 months, I enrolled in a couple of classes out at Briarcrest Seminary in Karenport. It was just a 15-minute drive from our house, and the classes were great. It was good to get back into a classroom setting once again. Also, during those 3 months, my wife and I, we visited a different church every Sunday morning in Moose Jaw, just to observe and to learn, to see what other churches were doing in ministry. But I also distinctly remember that even before my sabbatical began, thinking to myself, most of the congregation will not see me for 3 months. If I just increase the intensity of my regular exercise routine a notch or two, surely in 3 months I could come back looking slim and trim and a little extra muscle to flex. It was vanity and foolish pride that was my motivation. And so I began. I increased my regular exercise routine just a notch or two. And things were going very well, and I was feeling very good. Until right near the end of my study break. And I had had a particularly good workout, and I was feeling really pleased with myself. But the next morning I woke up and I could hardly move my right arm. It was incredibly painful. I have never experienced that kind of pain in my life before or since. Not even the pain of breaking my leg and ankle after skating matched this pain. It was horrible. And so I took a couple of Tylenol, but nothing. A few hours later, took a couple of aspirin, nothing. A few hours later, took some ibuprofen, nothing. The next night, I hardly slept. So much pain. So the next day, I went to see the doctor. Unfortunately, my regular family doctor was away. And so the standby, the call-in doctor said, well, it's probably a frozen shoulder. And so he prescribed some anti-inflammatories, which did not agree with my stomach at all. And he said I would have to be involved in 8 to 12 months of intense physiotherapy for my arm. And I thought, okay, that's fine. But I went home and the pain was still there. A few days later, my family doctor was back. So I booked an appointment with him and he took a look and said, well, it's probably not a frozen shoulder. He thought it was bicep tendonitis. And he gave me a cortisone shot. And within a couple of hours, I could move my arm, and the pain was gone. So there you have it. True confessions of your pastor, full of vanity and pride. What does Proverbs 16, verse 18 say? Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Take a look at Amos chapter 6, verse 8 once again. The sovereign Lord has sworn by himself, the Lord God Almighty declares, I abhor the pride of Jacob and detest his fortresses. What strong, strong language God is using. God did not say, well, if it's all the same to you, would you mind toning the pride thing down just a little bit? God did not say, would you please set your pride aside if that's all right with you? God did not say he dislikes pride or he doesn't care for pride or even that he hates pride. God said, I abhor the pride of Jacob. When was the last time you abhorred something? To abhor means to detest, to loathe, to despise with intense contempt. God abhors our pride. He cannot stand it. And then skipping down to verses 12 and 13. Do horses run on the rocky crags? Does one plow there with oxen? Amos is trying to chide Israel one more time for their stupidity by asking some rhetorical questions. The answers to those questions, of course, were absurd. Of course, horses do not run on rocky crags. Of course, the oxen cannot plow there. Everyone knows that. And yet Israel, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel, thought they were smarter than the animals. But they were not. They were attempting the impossible. They were attempting to escape the judgment of God, even though they were disobeying God. They thought to themselves, oh, we are the exception to the rule. They thought to themselves, oh, we are the favored and the chosen ones of the Lord. Surely we will be all right. At least that's what they proudly proclaimed. But the people did not escape. Their sins found them out. And within just a few decades, the judgment of God carried them away into exile. So let me ask you this morning, where does pride raise its ugly head in your life? Where do those haughty eyes, where does that attitude of superiority surface in your life? David Rhodes, writing in Our Daily Bread, describes pride as the dandelion of the soul. Think about that for a moment. Pride is the dandelion of the soul. For a dandelion, its roots go down deep, but it needs only a very little soil to sprout up again. In fact, you can find dandelions in the tiniest little cracks of the pavement. And one of the deadly things about pride is that it feeds on goodness. It feeds on goodness. We can be going along in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, doing good things in good ways for good reasons, and all of a sudden, pride pops up. Instead of declaring our dependence upon God, we begin to subtly deceive ourselves, subtly fool ourselves into thinking that, oh, I'm pretty clever. Oh, I'm pretty gifted. Oh, I can do this all on my own. I don't need God's help in this area of my life. It's so subtle. Think of Lent as an example. The season of Lent are those several weeks leading up to Easter. And many Christians, during the season of Lent, they fast or they deprive themselves of something. I heard of someone who was going to, for the season of Lent, deprive themselves of vegetables. And I think they got that kind of backwards. That's not what really Lent is all about. But I've heard of people depriving themselves if they really like Coca-Cola, for example. I'm not going to drink Coke for those 40 days. I'm not going to watch TV for those few weeks. I'm not going to eat chocolate, whatever. An expression of trying to draw closer to God so that our celebration of Easter would be even that much more special. And there's certainly nothing wrong with denying ourselves, taking up our cross, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of those things are very biblical. All of those things are very good. But if we're not careful, even while we're going through some of those spiritual exercises, pride can creep in. And before you know it, we're puffing ourselves up. We're feeling smug and superior. We start thinking to ourselves, well, I'm fasting regularly, and they are not. I'm reading my Bible regularly, and they are not. I am giving, I am witnessing, I am serving. All great things to do. But as soon as we have that smugness, that attitude of superiority, I'm doing all of these things, and they're not. Pride rears its ugly head. Pride is the dandelion of the soul. It can sprout up in some of the most unsuspecting places ever so quickly. And so what is the remedy? What is the cure? 1 Peter chapter 5. God opposes the proud. Remember, Amos said, God abhors pride. Doesn't just care for it, doesn't even dislike it or hate it. He abhors pride. Here it says, he opposes the proud, but gives grace to whom? The humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time.